good morning and welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for January 19th, 2014. Oyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. And, you know, I had a good friend when I was teaching psychology in the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. On their faculty was a person that became one of my best friends, Mike, and after we left, it was just 40 years ago, we went our separate ways, we went to New York and so forth, but we always kept in contact by telephone, through sports events. We would always make friendly bets, Super Bowl, for the NBA championships, and made our picks for the March Madness, for NCAA, over 40 years just in contact. And then as it turns out, just coincidentally, one of our lay minister students, he's going to give the Dharma glimpse today, Richard, his best friend is Mike. They and their wives get together all the time and go on vacation together, and none of us knew this until it came out that, yeah, I'm in a lay ministry program studying, and then it just blew their minds that these kind of coincidences occurred again. Well, Richard lives in upstate New York, part of the current LM6 group that will be finishing up this May. They'll all be coming here for their induction ceremony. We get to meet for the first time after 2 years in person, weekly teleconferences. It's always a very rich time to get together when we all meet in person. Today's Dharma Glimpse, Richard.
Hello, my name is Richard Hamling, and I'm a member in Group 6 of the Lay Ministry Program, and I was asked to offer a Dharma Glimpse for today. And my thought of this Dharma Glimpse was to, because we're in the holiday season, was to think of it as Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and all that jazz, so to speak. And in thinking about this, I wondered how many times recently we've said these words to one another or these phrases to one another, or even never mind, in our lifetimes have we said these phrases. To think about that. What are we doing as we speak these phrases, these words? Were they said in passing? Did we write them? Or were they written by Hallmark? Most importantly, though, did we really mean them? Perhaps by this time you may be thinking that, oh, here we go, a dark message at holiday time. And my reply is, well, maybe, but maybe not, which really sounds pretty Buddhist. Enough, I suppose, but if you can, just for a moment or so, hang in there with me, please. I'm not talking about Christmas or New Year's or any holiday for that moment. I'm referring to our words, the words we use every day, like brushing our teeth, closing the door, turning off the lights, even flushing the toilet, which is an interesting analogy. Without a pure frame of mind, let alone careful thought, the words and actions pop out, boom, just like that. And the question is, though, do we really mean it? Born into an existential frame of mind, and after more than four decades as a psychotherapist, words and actions have become more than just this or that to me. They have value. They serve a purpose. They represent something inherent in our being as a person. Yet, often without realizing, They fall out of our mouths and become expressed in our behavior that appears to be nothing more than a polite courtesy. At Christmas, we exchange gifts, send cards, and so on. And how much of ourselves is truly reflected in the words or in our acts? Giving something about ourselves, is this the true reflection, or is it obligatory? A case in point, I've taught an introductory counseling course for nearly 30 years, and sometimes I have these flashes as a thought as I drive to my assigned class, and a thought arising out of contact with a group of students and out of my own hindrances in living. As I drove, I heard someone say, "Love ya." And I had spent the day with patients, some of which I care very deeply for, and after many years of mutual hard work and therapy, I thought, "Love you," or "Love ya," why not "I love you"? As we began class, this thought reappeared, and because of the classroom dialogue, so I asked, how many of you, there were 20 students, say "love ya" after speaking to someone? It was unanimous. And then I asked, why do you say that? I asked the most, and after asking this, the most common reply, which I found so interesting, was "just because." A bit further, I asked, why not say "I love you" instead of just "love you"? A strong reaction was evidenced in the words and the behavior of the students, and for the most part, "I love you" is too intimate. One young adult could never say that, so he said to his mother. And another said, "We don't talk that way, but love you is okay." We've been carefully taught living light for many in our society is the way of life. Buddhism, in the truest sense of the word, does not mean light at all. Seeing things as they are in the here and now, uncluttered by past and futuristic intents, live with a desire for purity in all experiences, mindfulness. Now that's a cliche. How close can we become without minimizing the richness of life in this moment, without multitasking? Living with a goal without a purpose. Simply, it is, as you hear, it is what it is. Living light is really without calories, whether it's our words, feeling, or actions. My experience has been that it is indeed risky to live outside of the lightness in life. Indeed, we risk the chances of rewards. But the question is then, what do we want? And what do we need? And ultimately, what can we live with? Even to pick up a stone and wonder aloud, where has this been, is risky business. Obviously, I suspect we give up too much in our potential as human beings, a compromise that comes at a very big cost. And for me, and perhaps for you, Buddhism brings us together as a means to fully embrace and celebrate our humaneness for the benefit of ourselves and others. Buddhism is a commitment to the experience, the richness of life in all things. There's no substitute for living without appreciation. This deep appreciation is without exception. To some extent, living a Buddhist life legitimizes who we are and how we are built and our true nature. Buddha Dharma functions as a vehicle for self-acceptance and further growth. I recall Richard Gere responding to a reporter's question once when asked, "Who do you pray for?" Richard Gere responded by saying, "Everyone. When the bus leaves, everyone's on." Buddhism is about inclusivity, not exclusiveness. Doesn't this sound practical, very pragmatic? No inner or outer argument. This is Buddhism. Like the cliche, "It is what it is," often when I hear this, I wonder, do they really know that they're speaking in a Buddhist term? It's become so common. but has it lost or has it developed any meaning? A number of years ago, my wife and I had spent considerable time helping our daughter who had learning difficulties. And one day we were called to our daughter's school because she would not participate in special education requirements. The teachers were baffled and saying, gee, she comes from a good family, she's a nice person, she has all the support, she's bright, but this one piece, she's so oppositional. The teachers used the word special. And Sarah, our daughter, she knew if she was special, then someone else is not. She refused to compromise her position. And personally, I glowed, but I needed to clarify our daughter's position. Several teachers smiled and said, yes, of course, they got it, making sense of my remarks. Others were quite disgruntled, and one said, never mind that. What are you going to do? At which point, my glow turned to anger, and keeping it to myself, I only gazed at the old-timer without intimidation. You see how we can so easily trivialize something so precious and valuable as a child's life without careful attention to what really matters? And we wonder why there are so many problems in American society. I've had the fantasy that often I share with students and patients sometimes of going into McDonald's and when asked, may I help you? And I reply, yes, of course. I need a moment. Just a moment, please. Can we talk? I only wish they meant what they say. In sharing these glimpses, the Dharma becomes personal. It's us. We are the Dharma, as if to mean life without me, really me, in the deepest sense, in all that's possible, is an opportunity, a moment that is lost. The heartbeat to living, being Buddhist, is living this experience that we know to be rich, without compromising, no shortcuts, no cliches. It's not love you, it's I love you. This comes alive for ourselves and for the benefits of all being. Like my daughter, there's so much that is precious that is compromised by our words, our actions, and our opportunities. Fundamentally, we have to become all that we are and not squander, but become fully alive in this moment without compromising all that we are and what we may become. The Dharma asks us to become aware, experience our Buddha nature. This can only be done by conscious effort and perhaps by asking ourselves, how can I live this moment today? With all that said, I really do wish you all a very rich and happy new year, and in the Dharma, Gassho.
Wow. Thank you very much. As I listen to the Dharma glimpse, it really touches upon a teaching that we could really focus on in everyday life. Am I fully alive in this moment when I meet another person, whether it's a stranger that you're just nodding to, or a co-worker, and even our family members, when we say good morning to them? My father always used to say, Ichie, Ichigo. Ichigo, Ichie, in one lifetime, one meeting. In all of our lifetime, we only meet once. This time, this present meeting, we should treat it as though it's the only time. Instead of taking it for granted and making it, oh, routine, you see, it's just one in a series of, you see, person every day. Hey, tomorrow's not guaranteed anyone. This kind of a crisp, fresh attitude, you know, of when we interact with others. We're missing out on a rich thing if we don't make each encounter genuine, authentic. Make eye contact, look and say, hey, how you doing? Do we really mean what we say? And this is a form, I guess, of right speech. You know, one of the Eightfold Noble Paths. And right doesn't mean, in the usual sense of right versus wrong, or a lot of times we talk about negative speech, where we say harmful words or things. But today's emphasis is on the kind of speech that really comes from realizing that this is a precious moment. And am I being able to relate to this other person, whether, you know, make this moment the most meaningful moment? If you had that kind of attitude, boy. And when I was listening, I couldn't help but think about Fritz Perls. Fritz Perls was the founder of what's called Gestalt Therapy. And I always remember that he wanted people to be authentic. Even if the person... I saw a film once where they were presenting a dramatization of a client, interaction with a client, and he was talking to this woman, and he says, oh, you're being superficial here. She was expressing something. And she goes, no, I'm not, and he pressed her. And then she got mad. He goes, here, that's real coming out. Do you see that difference? You know? But I remember an illustration of where he said, sometimes we use over-conceptualized speech in talking to, when we interact with other people, in order to avoid real contact. And we don't really mean, it doesn't come from our depths. This is where sometimes a shout, a genuine shout, is something very alive. And I wrote this, I remember using this Fritz Perls illustration when I wrote my book, The Bright Dawn. And it involves an explicative deleted word. But it was in the textbook when I read it about Fritz Perls, and I use it as for educational purposes, so please don't be offended. I don't use it lightly. But he called it three kinds of shit, referring to shit meaning it's just over-intellectualization. You're not really expressing yourself genuinely. And I think it was very instructive and very clever way to show, make his point. What are the three kinds of shit that refers to over-conceptualized speech? The first kind is little, very little. He calls it chicken shit speech. And that chicken shit speech is what Richard was talking about when he said, oh, holiday greetings or sayings. It's a polite courtesy. How are you? You don't really mean, how are you? In fact, we're taken aback if the person says, oh, and he starts telling you how they really are. Okay? You don't really mean it when you say, well, how are you? How are you doing? It's just verbiage. There's no real meaning there. Okay? We use the words to, in fact, buffer ourselves from meaningful encounter with another person. And then he says there's a bigger kind of shit. And that's First there's chicken shit, now there's bullshit. And that's a very common term. Oh, you're just full of bullshit. You're full of excuses. You're just rationalizing everything. It's not. Okay. And then he says, there's an even bigger one, elephant shit. This, he says, refers to when someone over-psychologizes their speech, over-philosophizes, use the big words, not really expressing their inner feelings, really. It's psychobabble. And he says, educators, teachers, ministers are really prone to this big stuff. And I think it'd be it's very instructive when we examine how we interact verbally with others. And maybe it's cultural or ethnic thing with Asians and Asian Americans, but a lot of times we don't make eye contact. When we talk to someone, maybe we think it's too intrusive or impolite to look into someone's eyes. But this is something that I think now it could be. If I know that there have been, I had some friends, Sansei, means third generation Japanese American, like myself, Francis. And his father is, educated in Japan and came over. Maybe because English was not their first language, or maybe they tend to be quiet anyway as immigrants. But he said, my father never expressed his feelings to me. But we made eye contact, and I knew how much he cared for me and so forth. So maybe there's a ways to communicate beyond the speech, but eye contact, I've been trying to work on that myself, so that I could really express that I mean what I say. Or just that little spark between two people. And my dad used to say, I remember he talked about a wink between two people. Or under the table, you're touching toes with a special friend, a significant other. These are the things that really make the moment full. So I think that's a work in progress all the time. That we have to be aware of. That's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, you keep going, and you have a very beautiful 49er win Sunday. Thank you.